Hey, this is Jimbo for Two Shots on a Barrel, and I'm hanging out with my buddy, J-Bo.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, listen, I figured it was time that we tell everybody how much we appreciate you guys listening to Two Shots on a Barrel. We would appreciate also, J-Bo, if they would go out and review the show, give us some good constructive criticism. But honestly, J-Bo, we like 5 stars and just really good really good comments.
That's right. And if you could avoid doing it when you're really drunk, that would be a very helpful situation. You left a review for me on a page, and obviously you were 10 past where you should have been leaving that review. But yeah, just even if you have to lie, talk good about us, please.
Absolutely. We're available on all kinds of podcast platforms, including iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, you name it. We are out there. The other thing, J-Bo, is we would love to hear from you. If you know somebody that would love to be on the show, you can always reach out to us, J-Bo. Tell them
how. That's right. We have an email, and we've had it for about a year now, but we keep forgetting to tell you we have it. It's twoshotspodcastshow@gmail.com. That's the number twoshotspodcastshow@gmail.com. Please send us an email.
And I think the cool thing to tell everybody too, J-Bo, is we're very active out on social media. We've got a Two Shots on a Barrel group page on Facebook. You're also a TikTok guy. I didn't realize you were a TikTok guy, but we actually do TikTok, Instagram, and all kinds
of things. Yeah, we're on everything. We're not really really good at it, but we're on there. So get on there, laugh at our TikToks, and I'm sure I'll get Jim on a TikTok here before long.
All it takes is for one to go viral, J-Bo, and as crazy stupid as you are, it's probably going to happen.
It's going to happen. Either I'm going to get frostbit doing these TikToks, or we're going to have one go viral. So
we're excited about Two Shots. We are broadcasting out of our studios here in Main Street, Bourbon Country. It's a state-of-the-art studios where we're going to have many, many guests and many, many shows for you to listen to.
That's right. We're right here in the Pearl of Lebanon. Lebanon Health and Fitness in downtown Lebanon, Kentucky, just sideways of Rigetti's Restaurant.
Make sure when you are on the Bourbon Trail, if you're staying in Marion County in Lebanon, make sure you come by. They have a state-of-the-art fitness center. It's really a all-inclusive center for whether you're men, women. They've got a place that your kids, if you're coming in for the Bourbon Trail with your kids, I have no reason to understand why you would be doing that. But in case you are, they can do it all right here at Lebanon Health and Fitness.
If you're only going to be here a day, they have $7 one-day fees to come in and work out all day long.
Yeah, so
can't beat it.
Anyways, with that said, we appreciate you listening to our shows, and without further ado, it's Two Shots on a Barrel.
Two old boys ain't much for working. Two shots on a barrel, and they're talking about bourbon. Talking about a few other things that they don't know. If you've got a question, no need to ask. They don't have a clue, so raise your glass. Take a sip with the Bold Brothers. Now it's on with the show. From the heart of central Kentucky, the bourbon capital of the world, it's Two Shots on a Barrel with your host, a couple of hot shots of their own, the Bold Brothers.
What's up, J-Bo?
That's the nicest thing Terry Woolley's ever called me, a hot shot. Thank you, Terry.
Yeah. He just did that for promotional purposes to kind of make you sound good.
Yeah.
But
hot shots.
Yeah. It's good to be back in the studio.
It's great to be back, and already busted open the Frank August, so it's a fantastic drink if you haven't had it.
Absolutely. Suggest you try that out.
Oh, yes.
It's good stuff. It just seems to be every time we're turning around, we're getting another bottle of Kentucky's finest juice.
Yeah, we're running out of places, man. We need another shelf.
Yeah, we do. We'll have to reach out to our buddy Daniel Shortridge.
Yes,
over in Bardstown and get him to create some more shelves for us.
Yes, he is the best of the best. He built everything in this studio pretty much. And Daniel, you know, we don't have to tell you what to build. Let's just go ahead and start building us something. We need it right over there.
Well, so it's been a minute since we've done a show, and so we're back in the studio. I guess we survived the Kentucky Bourbon Festival.
We survived that. We survived a few games of pickleball amongst each other, and you know, you didn't break an ankle yet. I'm proud of you, man. You've come a long way.
You're still getting beat by retired teachers.
Yes, all the time. All the time. It's pretty humiliating, but, I mean, they're just that good. They're that good. They're really good. I'm not going to say her name because she don't like to be in the spotlight, but Miss Mattingly is fantastic.
Yeah, so you can't say her name, but I can because that's my cousin. And I will tell you this. We learned really fast that Janet Mattingly and the other teachers, you play by the rules.
Yes.
The rules of the game, there's no grounds for negotiating.
No.
It's the rules, and you play by them. You announce a score before you serve.
Don't even think about
all those things.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
So they are big time.
They're big time, and I love every one of them. They play all the time. Hopefully one day we can get you back out there again. I know we usually play after 6, and that's your bedtime. So maybe sometime soon we'll get you back out there.
Well, the last time I played, you did not.
Right.
It was just me and our buddy Chad playing, and it was one-on-one. And so we went out there with every intention of we're just going to hit the ball back and forth. That was not what it turned into. And I went, Chad had me going east to west to east to west to east to west like about 6 times, and I was done, and I said never again until I know I'm playing
doubles. Yes, yes.
All right.
That's it.
Well, J-Bo, we've got a fun show today. I have a really good feeling that this is going to be an educational process for you and me.
Oh, definitely, definitely. It's something new that I've been involved with probably about 2 years now, but I'm still, there's so much I don't know about hunting.
I know very little, and I feel like that I'm going to learn a lot today, but at the end of the day, I probably won't know very much. But this is, we've got a big dog in the studio today.
Absolutely.
I want to welcome in the president. Listen, when you say president, you know you are big time.
Yes.
So I want to welcome in National Wild Turkey Federation's Longbeards of the Commonwealth Chapter President, Mike Kelty.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm hanging in there.
Good, good, good. We're glad to have you here. I've been wanting to have you here for a long time.
Yeah.
And, man, I tell you what, from the first time I met you, I knew you were my guy.
Well, you know what? I love to talk turkey.
Oh.
I love to eat it, and I love to talk it. So,
and I'll never forget the first time I met you. I had my little guy, Salem, by my side, and I was worried, man, because he was amped up. He got his first deer, and we came straight to you.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I hope Mr. Kelty has some words of advice because this was totally exhausting. And sure enough, man, you told him what I needed him to hear. And, we think the world of you. Salem thinks the world of you.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to introduce the kids in the outdoors, man. That's where it's at. It's nothing any better, no better feeling to see a kid go out there and harvest a deer, turkey, whatever, squirrel, and see the excitement in their eyes. It's a feeling.
Oh, yeah. And it was great. We picked the right guy to go to for processing, and you took good care of it.
Well, thank you.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Jim, have you ever had deer?
All right, this is a true story. You
okay.
Want to hear it?
Yes.
This is an absolute. So I'm one of those guys that, I'm pretty much a steak kind of guy, like the cow from the field or chicken, that type of thing. So last week, J-Bo.
Really?
Just listen to the story. My son Patrick cooked supper, and I was like, cool. This is cool. And he's like, Dad, have you eaten supper yet? And I said, no. He's like, man, I fixed the best tacos tonight. I was like, cool, okay, I'll have some. So we were getting ready, hurried to go to a volleyball game. And so I go over there, and I fix me the best-looking plate of not so much the tacos. I like the nachos.
Right.
So I had a big monster plate of nachos, and I'm going to town, and I'm thinking, "Dang, this is good." And Sharon goes, "Do you like your nachos?" And I said, "Is there a reason why I shouldn't like my nachos?" And I was like,
"Now you're worried.
Is that not hamburger?" And she's like, she didn't say anything. She just had this face. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I just devoured some deer nachos." And I got to tell you, they were fantastic. Make no mistake about it. But what it did, it took me back in time to when Patrick was about 12 or 13 years old, and he had his buddy Jack over, and these boys wanted some spaghetti.
Yeah.
And I take a loaf of deer meat, and I'm over there cooking that stuff. And I got to tell you, that did not sit well with my stomach while I was cooking that. And then they go over there and I put it on the plate and they're sitting there lapping up that spaghetti. I instantly went back to the day that they were lapping up deer spaghetti.
Flashback.
So you were not wanting that story.
No, that's
you?
Fantastic. I'm just glad. I remember the story about the spaghetti because there's more to it that we can't say. You got a little green. And
oh, absolutely. I mean, I dang near passed out. And I dang near passed out after I found out I was eating deer nachos.
Hey, good stuff, though, man. Good stuff. Salem had summer sausage for lunch today at school. He took it to school with him.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome.
So that you made. So
awesome.
All right, so golly, Jeremy, you've taken me in a completely different direction than I thought we were going.
So let's talk about Mike's processing. Let's kick off with that. How long have you been doing that?
Well, you know, I've been doing it for years. I used to be a butcher, so I never really got out of the butcher thing. So I would do processing for myself, friends, and family. And, you know, I was just home, a little small in the garage, outfit, bought a grinder, bought a slicer, all that good stuff. And then I had so many people say, "Hey, can you do mine? Hey, can you do mine?" So a couple of years ago, I thought, you know what, I'm going to step out on the limb and just see where this goes. And so I got a basement, an overhead door, and I made me a cooler, moved all my operation downstairs, got water, sinks, and all that good stuff. And it's just got, it went crazy.
Right.
Just went crazy. People, I mean, I'm full every time I turn around every year and season opens, I turn away more than I can do because I just don't have the room.
So where is Mike's processing located?
It's at my home.
Springfield?
Down in Springfield. Springfield, yeah, on Cane Run. Yeah, it's I'm a small operation, but the good thing I do and a lot of people like is if you bring me your meat, you get your meat back. You
That's know? Fantastic.
It's not mixed with nobody else's.
Yep.
And so I'm pretty particular about what I eat, so it's going to be clean. And there's nothing going in there that's not edible. So,
awesome.
If you bring it and you don't get very much back, it's a reason.
Yeah,
it's not edible. So
fantastic.
So, Jabo, when you had Mike process Sabo's deer, how did it come back? I mean, how do you like your deer?
Well, that was our first deer, so I didn't know how I liked it. But he gave me several options. I like spicy stuff, so he threw some jalapenos in.
Sure.
You're going to have to help me out with the summer sausage. And
summer
then,
sausage.
Then we had, didn't you give us some, like, sausage?
Yeah,
breakfast sausage?
Breakfast sausage, just like old folks. I mean, you take deer and mix it with a little pork butt and do a ratio and season it with Old Plantation Blend 10 sausage seasoning. You can't tell the difference.
Gotcha.
You know, and then, just don't have all that fat.
Right.
And but you got enough, you know.
Just perfect.
So the one, before you go on with deer, listen, is so much tremendously more healthy than beef, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Protein, you can't get any more protein. No additives, no preservatives in it. You know, you go out here and you harvest the deer.
You know who killed it?
You know who killed it?
Yeah.
You know what it's ate? It's ate mostly corn or soybeans if they're around you know, if not acorns.
Yep.
And, you know, it's all organic. It's an organic meat and very healthy for you.
Oh, yeah. Back straps. Everybody's favorite. Back straps, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't even know. What's a back strap?
Yeah. It's just like a big tenderloin. Like it runs down the spine of a deer.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's big as a shot glass top.
Yeah.
And you pull that out and you got a big loin, just like a pork loin.
Oh, wow.
And
fantastic.
You can do steaks. You can wrap it in bacon, put it on the grill.
That's what we did. Extremely tender?
Oh, yeah. Just don't overcook it. That's it. Just because it's so lean. There's no fat much on it. But
good stuff, man. Yeah. I'm getting hungry.
I am too.
All right. So, J-Bo, what it was, you talk about the back straps. Uh-huh. What it was the favorite part that you liked personally that Mike did for you? And I'm talking about grub and eating and liking. And what did Sabo like the best?
Salem likes it all. He likes everything we've cooked so far. But the one thing that the whole family, even my wife, who I never thought in a million years would try deer, was the back straps. We cut it in little pieces, wrapped it in bacon.
Oh, absolutely.
Put it in the air fryer for just a little bit. Game over.
Really?
Even Amira.
She liked that.
Yes. I mean, I was like the sun was shining down on me. I'm like, holy cow, the whole family likes it. Goodness gracious.
And that's a plus.
Yes.
If your family likes it, man, it's so
it was fantastic.
It's so good to sit down a meal and everybody's eating it. You know?
Yes. So it was very, very a good thing. Salem's, like I said, he took summer sausage to school today and ate it for lunch.
Really?
Yeah. So
did you get any of those, like, beef sticks?
No, I just cut it up. He throws it on crackers.
Because they do those too, right?
They do beef sticks, and I'm gonna venture out and probably do a little more. Right now, I do like a bologna. I do a salami with peppercorns. I'll do summer sausage with if you want cheese in it. I got cheddar and pepper jack. It's high temp cheese, so it don't melt away when you cook it. So it's several options you can do. Some people just like it plain. You know, and there's a seasoning for each.
Yeah.
You know, summer sausage, there's a seasoning. Everything's a little different, flavor. So everybody's got their own preference. You
know? So who do we call if, like, there's another Jeremy out there that gets his first deer, wants to come see Mike? What's your phone number, man, so they can call you?
My cell is open anytime. It's 859-805-1577.
Gotcha. Now, look, all of y'all listening out there, if you go to Mike, you got to save me a spot. We still need to, save a spot for Salem. I'm sure I'll never get one, but Salem wants to go see Mike Kelty again.
Hey,
well,
he's welcome.
I have a feeling Mike and Salem are pretty tight.
Mike doesn't know it, but Salem thinks they're best friends.
So. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah, we got a relationship. We're
like that.
The thing that I, out of everything that I've heard, though, is the idea that when you take your deer to Mike, you're going to get your deer back.
Absolutely.
And, let's face it, that doesn't always happen. That's just a truth disclosure. But it will happen if you go to Mike Kelty's meat processing.
He can keep the cape on, take the cape off. He can give you a list of people that you can go for taxidermy. If it weren't for him, I'd been lost. He let us in all the right directions. So,
well, I've been a hunter all my life, ever since I was 16, and just venturing out squirrel hunting from my house and whatever. But made a lot of good relationships, a lot of friends in the hunting, And you get to know people. You get to know who's good at doing this and who's good at doing that. So, I keep them on a speed dial.
Yeah. So Bill Coy took care of Salem's.
Good deal.
Yeah.
I know Bill.
He's he doesn't do a whole lot anymore, but he found out that Salem got his first deer, and he likes taking care of little guys to get their fur, or girls.
Absolutely. He's super.
He's one
of the best.
Yeah.
Well, before we officially talk turkey.
Yes.
With Mike Kelty, he brought us a fantastic gift today, by the way. I mean,
absolutely.
This is an incredible gift. Tell him about it, J-Bo.
I'm going to let him tell about it because he This bottle that you brought us, it's incredible. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a one of a kind. This is a project that the state chapter, Kentucky State Chapter Board of Directors with Wild Turkey Federation. This year is their 50th anniversary since Wild Turkey was started. So we want to do a little something extra. We want to raise a little more money. 90 cents of every dollar that we raise goes back on the ground.
Awesome.
So whatever we could do to make it a little better, to preserve habitat, whatever. So we come up with the idea, we're in Kentucky, what better way than to come up with a bourbon bottle that was engraved with our 50th anniversary on it.
Fantastic. And autographed.
Actually, yeah, that was a plus. So what really made it unique was once we got the engraving done, we found a venture that would sell us a bottle and do the engraving free.
Oh, wow.
So we sent her a picture of our new logo, 50th anniversary and all that. She put that on there. And so our brains got to turning. I said, you know what would be even a greater thing is to get some of the legends in Kentucky who started the Wild Turkey Federation in Kentucky 50 years ago. And luckily, those two guys were still living.
Right.
And so Harold Knight, who was a great friend of mine, super, super guy, of Knight and Hale Game Calls, and David Hale, we approached them, said, hey, guys, we're doing this in Kentucky. Was wondering if you guys would want to autograph them. And they was delighted to do that. So we hauled our bottles down there to Harold's house. David come over. They lived down there in Cadiz, Kentucky, down around laying between the lakes.
Uh-huh.
And sat there, and they both signed them. We did 50 bottles in a lot, and they signed 50. And then when we seen we needed more, we'd order more, take them back. They do the same thing. So these bottles are very unique because you can't buy them anywhere.
Right.
And when they're sold and when they're sold, it's over. It'll be over. You won't be able to find them. So it's a very unique bottle.
So I was told that there's some left to be sold.
It is.
And
it is.
So we have all these bottle collectors calls us all the time. Where can they pick up this bottle? How much? Who do they call?
Yeah. Those bottles, we're going to push our sales through December 1st. And so anybody that wants one can contact any of the state board members if they know anybody else. If not, they can call me.
Okay.
And my number I gave you a while ago. And we can work it out.
Okay.
Those bottles are $250.
Okay.
Simply because they are a collector bottle. And those bottles, once we discontinue sales, there won't be any more made. So we're going to push them out to then.
I'll take a picture and put it on our Facebook page. So if you'd like to see
absolutely.
It, Two Shots Facebook page.
And another added gift is when you buy a bottle, you'll be in on a raffle. Anybody that buys a bottle will be in on a raffle that we'll do it first year on a hunting package, which will include a four-night, three-day turkey hunt in Washington County at a lodging. Lodging included. Hunting on some of the prime turkey property in Washington County, and there'll be a couple of guns on there. I think we got a duck hunt that's going to be on there.
Wow.
And probably a couple of other things. So somebody's going to go home with a nice package.
Heck yeah.
Oh,
man.
Lord.
And you said how many's sold altogether? I mean,
our goal was to sell 250.
Okay.
But we're probably right at about 100, a little bit over.
Okay. So your odds are pretty good.
Odds are really good.
Yeah, so you need to jump in and grab you a bottle. And make sure when you call Mike and buy one, you tell him you heard it on Two Shots.
Two Shots.
Yeah,
that's right.
Man.
That's right.
That's killer. We appreciate that bottle. It will go on that shelf forever.
No, yeah, absolutely. We'll hook you up on our Two Shots page, too. It's a beautiful Woodford Reserve bottle. And with the Kentucky Wild Turkey logo on the front and on the back with the number 50, which stands for the 50th anniversary. Absolutely. Of the National Wild Turkey Federation, and what makes us even more unique is those two autographs.
Yeah.
On this bottle, it's incredible.
You know, the young kids today don't know night and hail game calls who those guys were, and you know these guys are from Kentucky. These guys were the pioneers in the turkey industry to get wild turkeys back in Kentucky.
Wow.
And so, you know, I can remember when I was a kid watching videos of Night and Hail. They had all kinds of shows on any outdoor channel. And these guys were the king.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, yeah. Jim, let's take a quick break and then come back and talk about some more. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yeah, I want to talk turkey, baby.
Yeah, man.
I want to talk turkey. I want to learn more about what the Federation does, who Mike Kelty is. I know he's turkey and deer's not the only thing this guy has fixed and ate. And so I want to talk some more critters with Mike Kelty as well when we come back.
We can do it.
All right, it's Two Shots on a Barrel. Stick around. We got more Two Shots on the way.
So, Jabo, I found out the older you get, the more kids, as your kids grow older, you suddenly have a damn fleet of vehicles.
and the both of us, man, we can tell you all about it. We both have brand new 16-year-olds hitting the road. So let me tell you how often we're visiting big old tires these days.
And it's important when you got your 16-year-old out on the road, you have good tires.
Oh, absolutely.
And the place to go, we know, is Big O Tires of Lebanon and Bardstown.
That's right. Billy Taft has been doing this a long, long time. If you want advice on getting the perfect tire for the perfect vehicle, go to Billy Taft first at Big O Tire.
And not only can they supply you with some great tires, they also can do oil changes, mm-hmm. brake work, you name it. And here's the cool thing that really impressed me when I visited Billy Taft and Big O Tires the last time. That dude is customer service extraordinaire.
Absolutely. He's been like that as long as I've known him. I've known him a long time. He's a great guy, just like off the court than he is on the court. He's just A+, and I love that dude. He's really, really genuine, and he knows his tires. And if you're having problems, let's say this weather's crazy, okay? It's raining a bunch. Go in there and let him put new windshield wipers on your car besides going and trying to do it yourself. I'm speaking by experience here, Jim Reed. It's a terrible, terrible thing to do, putting wipers on yourself.
Big believer in Big old tires of Lebanon and Bardstown right here in the heart of bourbon country. If you're in for the bourbon trail, your car kind of messes up on you, go see our friend Billy Taft.
Pit stop. It's all it is. Pit stop. You're in and out and off to the next distillery.
There you go. Big old tires of Lebanon and Bardstown, a proud sponsor of Two Shots on a Barrel. All right, so one thing we've learned on Two Shots is it's important to know where to go when you need a good attorney general.
Yes, sir. It's very important nowadays. We've had to get one of our own here lately, and we got the best in the business.
We absolutely do, and we found out one morning when you go visit Don McCauley, you better enjoy bourbon and stick around for a while. Because not only is she very good and an expert attorney, she also knows her bourbon.
She does know her bourbon, and she knows where to get it, and she will not tell me where the secret stash is located. But that's okay.
But she'll bring out many of the unicorns that she has in her house, and we enjoyed spending time with her. But on a serious note, we know that folks listening out there need to have good legal representation. Don McCauley.
Don McCauley, you are right. 144 West Main Street in Lebanon, Kentucky. Her phone number is 270-692-0684. If it's legal anything, she will take care of it. She will be there for you, and she will be the voice that you need to get through this situation.
We're talking real estate law. We're talking business law. We're talking anything criminal related,
yes.
Divorce, you name it, bankruptcy, any of those things, Don McCauley can take care of you.
If you're nervous and you just don't know which way to go, if you need that voice, call Don McCauley. Once again, 270-692-0684.
Yeah, good stuff right here in Bourbon Country. Don McCauley, Law Office of Don McCauley. Thanks.
Marion County Trail could be the best value in bourbon-themed travel in Kentucky. You'll experience one of the Kentucky Bourbon Trail's crown jewels, one of the Bourbon Trail Craft Tour's top-rated stops, and something you can't find anywhere else. Organized tours of a bourbon barrel manufacturing facility, all in one place. It's the Marion County Trail. Take your time to tour, dine, shop, and stay all along the way. Explore world-famous Maker's Mark, a hot ticket item on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. Limestone Branch Distillery, home of world-famous Yellowstone Bourbon, and one of the top-rated stops on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail Craft Tour. Kentucky Cooperage, the sprawling plant where the thriving bourbon industry's barrels are hand-built and seared with fire for bourbon-aging flavor. And Lebanon, home of wonderful dining opportunities from home-cooked to chef-driven. Unique shopping opportunities, nowhere else to be found murals for your selfies, and overnight accommodations that range from traditional to bed and breakfast to bourbon-themed. Go to visitlebanonky.com for more details. Lebanon Tourist and Convention Commission, 270-692-0021.
Tired of paying rent? Do you dream of owning your own home? Now's the time to make that dream a reality. Call Lisa, 270-402-4036. Have you outgrown your current home? Need more space? Or just the opposite? Are you looking to downsize? Call Lisa, 270-402-4036. Whether buying or selling, now is the time. Call Lisa, 270-402-4036. Lisa Kearns Realtor, Exit Realty Bluegrass, 270-402-4036. Call or text Lisa Kearns, the helpful agent.
That's awesome.
Whoa, we are back on Two Shots in a Barrel. Yes. You taking the headphones off?
My ears are a little sweaty.
So we're having a lot of fun talking. Yes. Talking critters, turkeys, deer, grub. Beast feast.
You're hanging in there, man. You're doing okay.
I'm doing okay. The stomach's hanging in there.
You're doing good.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. So here's a little quiz. I love giving Jabo quiz.
Yeah.
Like quiz questions.
True. Yeah, he loves.
And it, Mike, I know you are a church going guy. Jeremy is not very good at Bible trivia, so we will not touch on that tonight.
Thank you.
All right.
I thought I was, but I'm not.
If you could guess about how many wild turkeys are in Kentucky, what would be your guess? The population of wild turkeys in Kentucky.
So at one point they were almost gone, if not gone totally. So I do know that. So I'm thinking 300,000.
That is a pretty darn good guess. Now, I don't know this statistic. I'm not sure of the date, but I will tell you it is courtesy of the Kentucky Wild Turkey Population Status Report.
Okay.
It says a crude statewide population estimate is between 250 and 400,000
sweet
turkeys.
Right there.
And yeah. I couldn't get one of them.
So you were there. The guy we got with us today probably could have, if you needed to extend a lifeline for some help with question,
I'm sure.
Mike Kelty could have helped you. But so, all right, Mike, for people that are just like, all right, National Wildlife Turkey Federation, what do you guys do?
Yeah, it was started in 1973 by a guy that just had a vision. He was an outdoorsman. And he knew that the turkey population wasn't where it needed to be. It used to be that turkeys were very, very abundant back in the day. But as times rolled on, people start moving into, you know, America and had to have food supply. You know, turkey was a delicacy for a lot of people. And there was no rules or regulations. So, you know, they kill as many as they needed to kill to feed their families. So turkeys got to the point that they were just about extinct. And so this guy had a vision that he wanted to bring wild turkeys back at whatever it took. So he started what he called the National Wild Turkey Federation. And so what he did was he went state to state trying to get guys to start a chapter, and then by doing chapters, they would have banquets, they would raise money, that money would be put into an account to use for the habitat and restoration of the wild turkey. And so every state had their own way of going about doing that. And in Kentucky, we had a handful of guys down around the Lamb Between the Lakes that had that vision too and wouldn't take no for an answer. So what they did, they started their first chapter down there. And so what we do, it's a nonprofit. All the money we raise, 90 cents of every dollar goes back on the ground. And we're strictly nonprofit, but our goal at this point in time is to educate kids about hunting, get the younger kids off the couch and the outdoors, get them off the iPads, off the phones, get them to get out there, enjoy God's creation. And not only kids, women also, and also men. You'd be surprised, you know, there's never, you know, we get the kids to get involved, the parents will follow.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, wild turkeys did get make a comeback. It was one of the greatest success stories ever about wild turkeys in the United States. Over 7 million now.
Wow.
You know, in the United States, but in Kentucky alone, really, really popular. So our goal now is, because of urban development, you know, these farms are being sold in tracts and subdivision. You know, so our goal now is to make sure they got the habitat, because turkeys are very vulnerable to predators, and they got to have a place to hatch their eggs.
So what can you do? So, I mean, with these, every farm's being sold in tracts now, every one of them.
Yeah, that's something that we probably can't control.
Right.
The thing that we're doing at this point is these WMAs, you know. We're investing our money into preserving WMAs. Wildlife management areas.
Okay.
And we're maintaining the habitat there to where the turkeys will have a place to live. And not only turkeys, but all wildlife, you know.
Okay.
Because blacktop and concrete is some place that they need cover to hatch their eggs from the predators, which could be owls, hawks, snakes.
Possums.
Bobcats.
Coyotes, bobcats, raccoons especially.
Raccoons
will eat their eggs before they even hatch.
I got you.
Yeah,
I got you.
So, and you know, they got to have a place to have habitat to hatch their eggs. They can't be out in the open. And when that, you know, if they are, even after they hatch, their survival rate is not good, because those guys are little bitty chicks for a while. And
they're on the ground. They're not in the trees at this point. They're on the ground.
And if they can make it 2 weeks, they're able to fly and get up. Their chances are 50% more at 2 weeks old.
Really?
That they can get up off the ground. Because turkey, you know, the grown turkeys roost, you know, at night.
Right.
So they'll fly up in a tree, and that's where they'll stay till morning. They'll fly off the roost. And so...
So little baby turkey, the mama will fly away from the baby?
She will. If she hatches, when she lays eggs, that's really a critical point in her when she starts nesting and laying eggs. When she sits on that nest, then she stays on the nest until they hatch.
But when they hatch?
And then when they hatch, she's mostly will stay with them.
Okay.
Until they can get up off the ground with her.
Okay.
And she'll sit on them, and they'll get under her wings at night.
Really?
It's some beautiful pictures out there that shows that. But that's kind of where we're at now, to introduce, get our hunting. Our hunting ages have declined. The guys that were older and can't hunt anymore, people are going to die. And,
right.
And so our goal is to get people in the outdoors.
Yeah.
You know, and we do some projects, have kids' day, introduce them to shooting traps, shooting archery, just get them out there fishing, just get them outdoors and have a day of it. And when that happens, a lot of times, you know, the parents will follow.
So do you have a website or something when y'all do these sort of things?
We do. NWTF / Kentucky.
Okay.
We'll list every event that we have.
All right.
Whether it be a Jake's Day, which is what we call Kids Day.
Okay.
We'll have some chapters will have Women of the Outdoors, which is strictly all women. Come out there. We'll teach them how to shoot.
Jim, that'd be a good day for you to head out there.
And, of course, we have banquets every year to raise money. We give away scholarships.
Wow.
To a high school senior.
Okay.
We cater to the shooting sports program in 4-H. We do a fundraiser with them. We go in beforehand before they start the competition. We usually do a turkey 101 to let those kids see some mounts and how that turkey looks and the beards and the spurs and all that on the turkey. They're overwhelmed because they've never been that close to something.
Right.
And so we hope that they're in shooting sports that we can entice them to stay a hunter after they get out. That's our goal. So
fantastic. Now, Jim, the local chapters are awesome, but evidently all these local chapters come together for a big party, right? I mean, big party. I'm talking like Ira Dean's there. There's Mark Wills. So
you've been to these parties?
I haven't, but I really, really, really wanted to go, and I really almost bought tickets last year or tried to. So I might bite the bullet and take me and you are going to go to where? Is it in Nashville still?
It's in Nashville at the Opryland Hotel. It's the biggest event other than the Country Music Awards.
Really?
That they have 2,500 rooms sold out to rednecks all over the United States.
I love it. Love it.
And it's nothing but, of course, the national calling contest, turkey calling contest. It's held there. They have a taxidermy contest. They have over 400 vendors from all over the United States that come and set up booths.
Wow.
That you can walk through and buy the latest, hottest item in the hunting industry. There's awards given that, during that 5-day event. There's a watering hole that has entertainment every day that you can go up there and...
We like watering holes.
Pull your little bourbon and sit back and listen to some guys that are country music.
Yeah.
That are coming up, and they let them come in there and
play. They had a little big town a few years back.
Yeah.
Several years back. They had, I know Ira Dean goes, formerly with Trick Pony, goes every year.
Mm-hmm. So it's a good get-together. You can go. You'll see people that you met the years before from all over the United States. Just sit around, just have a good homecoming,
Heck yeah, man. We need to go, Jim.
And then we have on Friday night, they have a big auction. I mean, Saturday night, it's a big meal and an auction and use some entertainment. And they have, they sell things such as all these hunts all over the United States just to raise money. And
that's awesome. Bunch of good old boys.
Yeah, and then they usually top it off. Riley Green was there last year.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah.
I love Riley Green.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chris Jansen was there 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sarah Evans was there 1 year.
See,
these boys don't mess around.
They don't mess around.
I mean, it's good time.
I love it, man. I love it. We got to go. Let's just say we got to go. When is it? When does it usually happen?
It's usually the second week in February. So my wife knows what she's getting for Valentine's Day.
Yep, we're going,
every year. I'm going to take you to Nashville. But you know what? She loves it, too.
That's awesome.
She loves it, too.
Good stuff.
We have a good time. But basically, that's what Wild Turkey Federation is. It's a organization that's worried about habitat and conservation.
And it's near and dear to your heart.
How's Mossy Oak? I used to say it's an obsession, not a passion.
That's right.
That's kind of what it is to me.
All right. I'll tell you what I'm interested in is talking more food. keeping it on the – Jeremy, you okay?
Yeah, man, I was a little hot.
Keeping it on the turkey theme, taste-wise – what's the difference between in pure taste in a wild turkey and what do you call it? Domesticated turkey?
A domestic.
Okay.
Kroger brand?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you had to describe the difference, how would you describe it, Mike?
You know, The only way I ever enjoy wild turkey is frying it, you know, deep frying it. And that's taking the breast out, which is the biggest meat of a turkey, mm-hmm. and taking it and cutting it into little chunks or strips,
mm-hmm.
and Kentucky seasoned flour,
mm-hmm.
and a little grease, and don't overcook it. Just let it get brown, and man, it's just something about that. It's awesome. Most people will take a Kroger turkey,
mm-hmm.
put it in a Dutch oven, and
mm-hmm.
put it in the oven, you know, and bake it or whatever. But wild turkey is just something about cooking it, deep frying it like that.
Is there a distinct difference in the taste in wild turkey and domestic turkey?
Probably wouldn't be a lot. It's just, these birds you buy at a store, it's got the drumsticks and all that.
Right.
That when you got dark meat off the legs and they got the wings and all that. But a wild turkey, the legs are pretty tough because, they walk around all day.
Yeah.
And so the legs are really tough. The best way I've ever cooked a wild turkey leg is to just boil it and let it just fall off the bone.
Mm-hmm.
And once it gets to that point, then put it in a food blender, grind it up, and make turkey salad.
Right. Oh, that sounds good.
Put a little relish, a little mayo or whatever in it. Just eat it on a cracker, or eat it on bread. Some people just throw the legs away. I eat it all.
Yeah, yeah.
But the only way I ever ate it, I have grilled it. Take a turkey and maybe do a marinade. And then put it on the grill. Just don't overcook it. And I've ate it that way. It's really good that way. So,
sounds good to me.
Hey, J-Bo, yes. I kind of want to talk some gators because you guys were talking gators, and Mike's got a story to tell about gators.
Okay.
And we actually got some podcast buddies up in Indiana that have a gator cooking year. So we're going to give them a plug right now. We'll come back with Mike and maybe talk some gators and other critters. Who
Sounds
knows what?
Good to me.
That's
Absolutely.
Coming your way right here on Two Shots on a Barrel.
Absolutely.
Are you looking for a clean, fun podcast that you can relate to? Well, we've got it for you. Cross the Line, the 1524, originates out of Indiana. Former high school rivals. Now our buddy sitting around a speakeasy bar talking about common day events, common things. We keep it light, they keep it easy. It's a good time. Check out Cross the Line, 1524. You can find it on all the podcast apps and players. You can also check them out at crosstheline1524.com or check them out on Facebook, Cross the Line 1524.
Love that coming back tune that we play so well. Two Shots on a Barrel. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a tough year as far as people say. How many shows y'all done? Between your plumbing issues.
Plumbing.
Yeah, your
kidney stone.
Yeah, your kidney stones.
Did we have plumbing issues?
Yeah, and then I had this little spell. I mean, it has cut back on our shows.
Yes.
But 2024 is a brand new year, and so we're going to hit it hard. But we go for quality sometimes,
yes.
And we've had some absolutely great shows this year, including our show today with Mike Kelty. Who I guess it was at the break, our first break, you guys started talking about the Beast Feast.
Yeah.
That Mike has been involved in at the River of Life Church over in Springfield and got to talking about alligators.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard him. So let me get this correct, Mike. You went on an alligator hunt in Florida. tell me about going on an alligator hunt, because Jeremy, I know that's something he will want to do.
Oh, absolutely.
Is it similar to like, I'm going on a bear hunt?
It's almost, because you know what? Those two things, a bear and a gator, you know, they can hunt you as well as you hunt them.
Good point.
I wasn't real crazy about it, but it was something I had on my bucket list. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But I really didn't want to go the route that swamp people do.
Oh,
if you watch the show about reaching down and, you know, being in a little John boat.
So no, thanks.
I was like.
So they just, they just reach down and grab it by the head and kind of, I mean.
You know, you watch swamp people, they, you know, they're it looks pretty. Pretty dangerous, you know, but we were in a bigger boat. A good buddy of mine in Florida took us on a lake, and this lake had houses around it. I mean, these gators could actually crawl up in these people's backyards. Wow. So, but this lake was huge, and he would drive by it every day, and he would be able to tell what area of the lake these gators were before we got there.
Some slides.
So he had a little bit of a vision for us. So we get there, we get on the water early morning, before daylight, and the water's like glass. I mean, it's just as flat, and you're waiting for the sun to come up. And all of a sudden, when the sun starts coming up, you start seeing heads popping up on the water.
Oh, Lord.
You just see star hitting heads popping up. Some can be close, some can be far away. And he said, what we want to do, we want to look and see how far it is from the end of that gator's nose and where his tail is, because that's a big gator. And he said, we don't want a little thing. We want, because the tag, if you get one that's small, you got to tag it. So we was looking.
So you could actually see the silhouette of this gator in the water,
yeah,
right?
On top of the water, you know, they're just floating along.
Okay, all right.
And so we got binoculars and we're checking them out. And, yeah, it's a pretty good size one right there. So all of a sudden he says, let's go for him. So starts the boat up. We zoom in on him, roll up on him, get up there close. Of course, he's going to go under. But this lake's not but 5-6 foot long, you know, deep.
Right.
Oh, and Lord. So when the gator goes under, what happens is he's swimming, that big tail that's hitting the bottom, so bubbles are coming up. So you follow the bubbles. Wherever the bubbles are, there he is. You know he's there. You just find the bubbles, and you take a big fishing rod with the treble, big treble hook on it, and you fling it out there in front of him and try to hook him. Now,
Is there a bait on this?
No,
hook him.
You try to hook him either in the body, in the leg, in the head.
Oh.
And when you do, hang on.
Are you laughing at me about that question?
No,
because
no,
I don't know about alligator
I'm
hunting.
Laughing about call it an elephant, but it's an alligator.
Yeah.
Once you hook it, how...
Yeah, okay.
You know how crazy it's about to get.
And he's going to take off, and you reared back holding on. You set your drag on this big rod.
Couldn't imagine.
And 45 minutes into it, you're still trying to reel him, and you're not getting no ground. He takes off, and he finally gets a little bit tired, okay? So you're able to gain a little ground. You get pulling. You get to pulling, and then, you know, you're getting a little bit of tired by the time, too.
I'm getting ready to say, I'm going to get tired before he gets tired.
Yeah.
So the gator's pretty much bigger than the boat, lengthwise, right?
Yeah. You know, you take a 9-foot alligator from the end of his nose to the end of his tail, that's a pretty nice gator.
That's a big gator.
So when he gets tired, eventually, after about 45 minutes to an hour, and he's right there beside your boat, you got him reeled in, and he's floating to the top. And you got a harpoon. It's got a rope on it. So you try to stick that in his neck where it's no bone. So it'll go in. It's got a burr edge on it. So when it goes in, it can't come out. So when you hit him with that, guess what?
Game on again.
It's on again. It's like a dog on a leash. So you hold on, and he's turning, he's flipping, and you don't have the pole on him anymore. You got the leash holding on to him with the harpoon.
Gee whiz.
And you're fighting him another 30 minutes probably, and he's a snapping and, you know, mouth popping. Right. And so when he finally gets hard enough, he'll float up to the top. And, of course, where we were at, you can't shoot a gun, but you had a bang stick, you know. This bang stick had a 45 caliber shell that had a spring. It was spring loaded. So on impact, on his top of his head, there's a spot about big as a half a dollar. That's the area you got to hit. And when you hit him with that, that 45 shell will go off. It's not going to ricochet because it's right there.
Right.
You're not shooting across the water for the safety of the houses around. But when you hit him, a lot of times, that's it. He's done. And then the fun starts. You got to reach in and get a hold of him and tape his mouth.
Hope his buddy doesn't come
all
up.
All the other heads float down.
And you're watching the water at that time, making sure there's nothing else coming in, or at least making sure that one is completely dead, you know, because...
So he may not be dead at this point.
Well, the guy we was with kind of fooled with it a little bit just to make sure with a hook, and my buddy who also got one that day, His wasn't dead. When he stuck the hook down there, the gator bit down on it.
Oh, holy
crap. So it's like, we had to hit him again.
Yes.
But you tape his mouth just to make sure before you get him in a boat, and then you pull him over the side, all three or four of you, and just lay him in the bottom of the boat.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It's pretty good work, but it's fun.
Oh, I can imagine. Jim, we need to do it. Let's go.
So okay, you get him on the boat, Then is it like you've been deep sea fishing mm-hmm. down in Destin? When you get back up, you know, those guys are cleaning it. Is that what happens?
Well, we got through. You can only hunt gator till 11 o'clock in the morning, and then you're done. So from daylight to 11.
Because?
I assume it must be a regulation in Florida. So we if you got one hook by 11, you can still harvest it, but you can't keep casting after 11. So we got him in the boat. We load the boat back on a trailer. We go back to the guy's house. And these guys have done this all their life, so they knew. And we took a tractor and a loader, put a strap around it, hoisted it up out of the boat. It's 9 foot. I'm standing beside it. So, I mean, I'm standing there like this, and this gator's nine foot tall.
Yeah.
And they had a metal rack out of rods, and we laid him on his belly right there and had some really sharp knives. And so we started whittling. I mean, the skin on a gator, you can't just pull it off. It's got to be cut. The skin is just like leather. So, you cut down the belly, you cut down the legs, you just start whittling, and you skin him out. And
wow.
You either can take the skin and mount it, or you can take it and make a purse out of it for your wife. You can take it and make boots out of it. I mean, that skin is very valuable to a lot of people.
We need to do this, Jim.
So I'm guessing this place has a nice little clubhouse area or something for the guys to hang out while the other guys are going out there wrestling gators. I can be sitting there drinking some Frank August bourbon.
Oh, absolutely. And my buddies, you know, he said, you know, we had a good day. We got two gators, so we got to celebrate. So we had a few drinks afterwards, you know, in his backyard, and throwed a little cornhole. So
nice.
And this guy, they live in just very, very, I mean, nice home, but just out in the middle.
Beautiful.
Of a place. And his dad lived in a camper behind him, and they had a walk-in freezer, so anytime they got anything like that, they had a freezer to put it in. They helped us skin it out. We took the meat, cut all the meat off the bone, froze it, put it in a cooler, and brought it all back home.
To the beast feast. That's awesome.
Can you imagine Mickey Joe coming home one day and saying, J-Bo, what did you get in today? And you said, oh, I just wrestled a gator.
She's like, okay, good for you, whatever. Salem, okay. That's how that would go.
Incredible.
So look.
Yeah, so it's Mike, a fun thing. There's a chance.
Oh, we're going. Jim and I are going. He doesn't know it yet, but I'm getting online tonight.
Yeah.
Figure that out.
like alligator hunting and haunted houses for me are similar. I don't do either. So, just so you know.
Oh, it is haunted house season, isn't it, Jim?
It is, and I don't do either.
That was his poke at me, reminding me not to ask him to go to haunted houses.
I do not do haunted houses.
You know, we've lost money because he's scared of haunted houses, Mike.
Really?
We've been offered to be sponsored by haunted houses around town, and Jim's like, no, I'm not doing it. So, thanks, wow. Jim.
Oh, well.
Guys, all right, chicken.
So on that note, we've covered a lot of stuff, Mike.
Absolutely.
You know, probably maybe two questions. One is, what have we not covered that you want to hit? And then secondly, I'm just curious about Mike Kelty, other things. We obviously know you as, you know, with the National Wild Turkey Federation and the Beast Feast and so many other things. But
yeah.
Tell us a little bit, who is Mike Kelty?
You know, I'm a hometown boy. I just turned 65 years old, and, you know, and I've lived in Washington County, Springfield all my life. You know, made a living in the insurance business for 30 years and helping people with their needs. And
yeah.
So I just
you still do that, or
I still do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I kind of streamlined it a little bit, but I still do it.
Yeah.
When I want to, not when I have to.
Yep.
And so, but I spent about 15 years as a butcher, cutting up meat in a grocery, and then went to a packing house, and so then I got in the insurance business. I pushed a pencil for 30 years instead of a knife. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but other than that, you know, I love my good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I love my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm involved in also doing some part-time work for the ambulance service and EMS. I used to do it full-time, and got out, and COVID hit, and they wanted some help, and I come back. So I work a shift or two every week whenever they need me. Not for everybody, but
right.
I enjoy it, and it's pretty hairy sometimes, but I get through it. So
it's a tough job.
It's a needed
absolutely
in the community.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So instead of going down to where you didn't have but one truck in your county, I try to make sure that we have two, because it might be my family next.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
So
there's one thing when I talk about hunting to people, and I always say, well, do you know Mike Kelty? There's not one person that I brought up Mike Kelty's name to where they then say, oh my gosh, yes, I know Mike Kelty. He's the greatest. There's not one person ever says anything about Mike Kelty that's not positive. Everybody loves him. Yeah, I mean, that's Bardstown, that's Springfield, Lebanon. You know
you gotta,
everybody
you gotta
knows
treat people like you want to be treated.
Exactly.
That's kind of way that's my golden rule. You know, I figured if I can get through life and treat people like I want to be treated, you know, maybe the world will be a better place, you know.
Mm-hmm. So,
but I got a loving wife, Dana, and
how many years you guys been married?
Gosh, we've been married, let me get it right now.
Oh gosh, you got it. You're gonna get me in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, about, you know,
17-18 years. So she hey, she says hunting season's the best time for shopping. So when I walk out the door, go hunting, I hand her the credit card.
There you go. There you go.
So she don't care how long I go and how long I stay. And she, you know, when we work EMS, you know, I'm gone 24 hours a lot of times. So she's all about it. So I'm thankful to have her.
Good lady.
So.
This guy knows the world famous Lydia Smith as well.
Really?
Yes, yeah, he does.
Yeah, Lydia's. She's one of my nieces. So
wow.
She's energetic, so to speak.
she is.
She's running 16 different ways in one time.
That's
so
awesome, man.
Yeah.
She's quite gifted.
Yeah, I found that out. My niece Grace got married. And so Lydia was out there, and I'm telling you,
yeah,
some of her creations, and then even after that, we're doing the volleyball senior night, and so I realized Sharon had gotten these real nice gift baskets for the volleyball seniors, and they were the coolest writing on them, and I'm like, gosh, she did a good job on that. Oh, that was Lydia.
I tell you. The girls, she could do that calligraphy.
Oh, yeah.
Freehand.
Top notch.
And sometimes she'll do a video of her writing or doing something, and I could sit there and watch it all day, how perfect it is. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Good stuff.
Yes, she actually did. You know, our prior guest we had on here, Ray Osborne, yeah. Good Buddies. The bar down there, Lydia was instrumental in that. J-Bo, based on your little notes here, you never need to do calligraphy or anything like that.
That's cat scratch.
I'm just telling you. Cat scratch. Yeah. I'm just telling you that's the case.
Well, Mike, man, thank you so much for coming to our studios.
Hey, man, it was a pleasure. I had a ball.
And I hope to God that I get a deer this year. I mean, you know, I probably won't. But you're my man. If I get a go-to man. Yes. But look, I learned something. Don't call him Sunday morning because he's at church.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I called him first, and I was like, man, he's at church.
and another thing that struck me early on in the conversation, Jeremy, I've known Mike since, I don't know, a few years ago. Mike came and onto the Sunday Morning Harvest show that I do on a Sunday morning. Yeah. Mike is not one of those guys that he strikes me that you call him Mr. Kelty. He's a Mike kind of guy.
Hey, I've been called a lot of things. But yeah, I've really enjoyed being here. I just encourage everybody, you know, it don't have to be that you go out there and harvest anything when you go hunting or being in the outdoors.
Oh, that's my favorite. About,
you want the stress relief, you know, take that phone, cut it off.
Oh, yes.
Go out there and watch the world just come alive.
Oh, it's great.
It's nothing like it, you know, and if you harvest anything, that's just a plus.
Yep. I agree, man.
You want another Patrick true story?
Sure, go ahead.
Speaking of going out into the woods and into a tree stand, the old George Strait song, I Saw God Today.
Yeah.
So I remember going out, and I was not a hunter. I was not a hunter, but Patrick was, and I would go out there when he was too young, and we would sit in the deer stand, and you can't help but look around at the beauty around you, and you say that the George Strait song comes to you. I mean, it absolutely just does.
Well, you can't help it.
Well, you know, I tell people all the time, if you're out there early morning watching the world just unfold, you're going to hear things that nobody else will hear.
Yeah.
And you're going to see things that nobody else will see. I mean, it's just amazing how much satisfaction that is to me. And
I agree.
You don't have to go to anywhere else and get any stress relief. That is it.
Yeah,
so, I agree.
Anybody wants to go, man, just call me. I always need company.
Awesome, man. So what's that website one more time for all things turkey?
NWTF/Kentucky. We got a website for our state chapter, and you can go on there. You can see all the events in every county, the time and dates and what's going on, and so you can get plugged in. If you're not already a member of Wild Turkey Federation, you can become a member for $35.
I'm going to do it tonight.
And that's an annual membership. You get a book every 3 months, Turkey Call. Got a lot of great articles in it. Got all about what's going on all over the United States, who your contact is in each state, if you need to get a hold of somebody. So
I'm going to challenge all of our listeners right now to sign up this year. Let's do something big. Let's all sign up.
Let's do it.
It is.
And also going to challenge all of all the listeners of the podcast. Remember, it's the 50th anniversary of this great organization, and you still have a chance. They're going to be closing this in December, but you still have a chance to buy, I mean, a phenomenal, once-in-a-kind, limited Woodford Reserve bottle that has the National Wildlife Turkey Federation logo on it, the 50th anniversary. It's phenomenal. But even to boot, two former presidents of the National Wild Turkey Federation have signed these bottles. It's incredible. for $250, 90% of the money from this goes back to the Turkey Federation, and you have a bottle that is honestly one that you're not going to be able to find again.
No.
Exactly.
Get it while you can. Get it while you can.
They won't be bought on stores.
So, yeah, we're going to hook you up on our Facebook page, J-Bo. Yes. Also, when we release a podcast, we'll give you information. And finally, we want to give you that number for Mike's meat processing. Yes. Because it's important when you take your deer, you want your deer back.
Yes.
And you will be able to do that with Mike Kelty's meat processing, 859-805-1577. That's the number for Mike. But, you know, get to him early. Because
I'll fill up quick.
Yeah, fill up.
He had three last night.
Yeah, well, I mean, the word is out. The word is out. Yeah. So,
I'm kind of jealous because it's one little 8-year-old. He was running around like no big deal, and he had a 150 class deer laying
Holy
there.
Moly.
Like, you know what? I told his dad, I said, he don't know what he has. People in a lifetime.
Right.
Yeah.
Kill a deer like that.
Yeah.
He's 8 years old, and pops him and like no big deal.
Oh my gosh.
I would show up with wet britches, I promise you. That's a fact.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Well, Mike Kelty, it's been a pleasure, man.
Thanks, guys.
We appreciate you coming on Two Shots. J-Bo, what a show, man.
Hey, we love Mike Kelty.
All right. More Two Shots coming your way. Hey, don't forget, 2024, brand new year. We're gonna be like out hot and heavy because J-Bo's gonna schedule all kinds of people.
Oh yes.
And I'm just gonna show up.
Just show up.
All right, peace out, guys, from Two Shots on a Barrel.